This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
Hello, my name is Pam Locker, and I'm here at the home of Mrs. Susan Carol Doreen Chapman, née Jakes. On the 14th of October 2017. And can I just start, Sue, by saying an enormous thank you on behalf of the Bomber Command Digital Archive for offering us your story. And I understand that you're going to read a narrative that you've put together about everything that has happened. So when you're ready, if you'd like to start. Right.
Thank you. My mother related the story of how one day she heard me tell someone that I had been a lucky girl, as I had had two daddies. This is their and my story from memories mostly from family and friends of those who knew and loved them. My name is Susan Chapman, née Jakes. I was born at the Mary Rodham Nursing Home in Newport, Shropshire, on the 15th of November 1943. My mother was Gwendolyn Betty Jakes, known as Teg to her family and Betty to everyone else, née Stokes, and my father was Charles Reginald Jakes, known as Reg. He was born on the 25th of March 1913 and brought up in Leigholme, County Durham, one of six and the second boy. He had one brother, another died in infancy, and his four sisters. Their father was a builder. Their mother died young, and Reg's elder sister brought up the family. He left school at age 14 or 15 and went to work in the offices of the local coal mine, but educating himself, I am told, by using the street light to read. He had an aptitude for maths and also played the violin. He moved to work as chief financial officer in the local authority offices of Newport in Shropshire, living in digs with a couple who I am told thought the world of him. It was while working here that he and my mother met. She was born on the 1st of January 1920, being christened Gwendolyn Betty. She was brought up in Heath House, Knowsall, Staffordshire, where her father was a builder and joiner. Along with her only sister, who has provided me with a lot of this family history, she attended Stafford Girls High School, travelling by train every day. She also had an aptitude for music and played the piano to such a high standard that she won a prize at the Eisteddfod in Wales. Latterly at school, she played for the daily assemblies. She left school aged 15 years of age and initially went to work in the offices at Stafford Laundry and then to Barclays Bank in Newport. The consensus seems to be that they literally met in the street as both worked close to one another. The distance from Newport from Knowsley is approximately 7 miles, and my aunt recalls that Reg walked her home after work one Saturday morning, he pushing his bike. They got engaged around the time of Dunkirk, that would be May 1940. Her engagement ring is an Art Deco design. On this happy occasion for them, my aunt was not left out, and they gave her a brooch as her present, which she has recently given to me. I just found this out, and I'm very pleased to have this as another keepsake. My aunt says this act was an indication of how thoughtful and nice Reg was as a person. Comments that have been made to me over the years from people who knew him or of him fully endorse this. They married on the 1st of January 1941, Mum's 21st birthday, at Knowsall Methodist Chapel and spent their honeymoon in Shrewsbury. Her parents gave her money, out of which she had to buy her wedding dress, and she also brought her piano. They set up home in an area of Knowsall known as Ardmore, as Heath House was in fact in Knowsall Heath. From comments made by Mum, I think that they initially rented the property, and on being refused the right to purchase, Reg was very unhappy. They both attended the local chapel and he taught in the Sunday school. They visited his family in the northeast, and on get-togethers later in life, my mother and Reg's sisters would reminisce of these occasions. Although in a reserved occupation, he joined the Royal Air Force Volunteer Reserve on August 6, 1941, and told for the duration of the current emergency as an aircraftsman second class. He was recommended for training as a pilot or observer with a statement that he was not to be employed other than as a pilot or observer without reference to the Air Ministry. Early in 1942, he was transferred to Canada for further training in Moncton, New Brunswick, Ontario. He came back from Canada on the Queen Mary, which was being used as a troop ship. By April of that year, he was classed as being an observer. In December 1942, he was at Air Navigation School, and in April 2, 1943, he was undertaking ground instrument training and map reading in Tiger Moss, and due for the first flight today. A letter sent by Mum to his younger sister on the 8th of July 1943 said that Reg is stationed 14 miles away and is using his bike to get home. From September that year, he had completed his training and was changing stations mainly in the east of the country. He spent some time at Doncaster, which was a conversion unit for Halifax and Lancaster bombers. On the 12th of November, he was at 103 Squadron, a navigator operational flying, and the same month he was posted to Elsham Wolds in Lincolnshire. On the 15th of December, he sent what was to be his last letter to his younger sister, to tell her that he had been shopping in Scunthorpe for Christmas presents for his nieces and that he was due for leave on the 22nd of December. He obviously had leave to visit Mum and I still in the nursing home, as a letter from my mother to the same sister says he had visited us both and she had caught him giving surreptitious glances to Susan in her cot. He must also have registered my birth, and I was given the names Susan Doreen. There had been an outbreak of influenza at the camp, which he had had and recovered from. On the evening of the 16th of December 1943, he was navigator in a scratch crew from both 103 and 576 Squadron, flying in Lancaster JB670 of 103 Squadron, which took off at 16:37 hours for Berlin. There was low cloud that night, and the crews at briefing had been told to circle the airport once and then peel away. Among the first flight to take off was Lancaster LM332 of 576 Squadron on their first operation. Soon afterwards, they were followed by JB670. Eyewitness accounts tell that as JB670 took off and climbed away, LM332 appeared out of the cloud. A collision was inevitable and the machines crashed head-on. This occurred just outside the village of Ulsterby, and wreckage fell over a wide area. So, aged 24, Betty was a widow with a newly born daughter. My aunt tells me that my mother was welcoming her cousin back from the army on leave when she heard the news, and this has also been verified by the sister of her cousin, who told me this several years ago, as to how elated they were at having her brother home, but having to also deal with the death of Reg. The family had expressed their wish that they could bury him locally, but this was not allowed, and he was laid to rest in a Commonwealth grave in Cambridge Cemetery. This was December and a very cold day. They had had to travel from Stafford by train, and the family included Reggie's brother, his eldest and youngest sisters, my mother and her sister. They were in the cemetery grounds when someone shouted, "Elsham Wells party," and they all gathered for the burial of six of the crew. I am told that my mother went to try to talk to one of the officers to try to gain more information, but little was forthcoming. And as she said, you had to take what was told you and you did not ask questions. It was only in the early 1990s that she read a letter in the Lincolnshire Life Journal from a gentleman in Australia asking for information on LM322 and the crash in which his brother died. They started to correspond and he acquired much more information which he then passed on to her. So, at 24, Betty a widow with a newly born daughter. I was christened at Christmas in the home of my grandparents by a close family friend who was a JP and local preacher. Carol, the female equivalent of Charles, was included in my naming, which I continue to use, although it gets a bit awkward at times when I have to state my names that are on my birth certificate only. A white and blue rimmed china bowl was used, which I still have in my family history box. We carried on living in the same house, with Mum becoming a nurse at Stafford Hospital and me being looked after by my grandparents. A brass plaque was erected in Nosal Methodist Church in memory of Reg, and the cousin of my mother, the one she was greeting, who was killed the following year in northern France and is buried in Caen. From what I've already related to you, you'll remember that there were other RAF stations located not far from Nosal. On Sunday evenings, the men billeted there would come to the church and be offered refreshments by the congregation. I do not know the exact date when they first met, but this is where Mum met my stepfather. He was called Stanley Stubbins and came from Winterton in Lincolnshire. He had been born and brought up in this village and never left it except for his war service. His father was the local builder, joiner and undertaker. Romance blossomed and they were married on the 26th of May 1945. The story goes that the photographer forgot to attend, so they went on honeymoon, the bridal flowers were placed in the cellar and photos were taken when they got back. For a young man taking on a new family, it must have been quite daunting. Again, my aunt tells me that my granddad received a letter from Stan's parents stating that I would not be treated other than one of theirs. This was true, fortunately, because on one of our first trips to Winterton, I'm told I picked off the heads of his prized tulips and threw them into the garden pond to float. We remained in Nosal, where the elder of my two half-sisters was born, until Stan was demobbed and could find us accommodation in Winterton. When I was told that Stan was not my biological father, I don't know. He was very tolerant of the fact that Reggie's RAF cap lived in the wardrobe, and he would say that Christmas was always a difficult time for Mum. Ironically, Winterton is only a few miles from Elsham Wolds. Remembrance services were held every year with flypasts by Lancasters, which Mum and I used to attend. She maintained contact with Reggie's family, and consequently they came to visit us, and we them on a regular basis. So I have 13 cousins on Reggie's side and 6 on Stan's side who come together on family occasions. They all held Stan in such high esteem that when he died in 1997, there was a large contingent of cousins plus aged parents who came to his funeral. My memories of Reg are all that have been told to me in the past, along with some tangible items that are kept in my family box. His Bible given to him by Nosal Sunday School on his volunteering to the RAF. His hat and medals. On the death of his youngest sister, her daughter passed on to me the letters written by Reg during his time in the RAF, and I also have a copy of a letter sent to his second eldest sister, which her daughter found in her handbag. From Stan I have my childhood, adolescence and adulthood to recall. As a family, we loved him very much.
That was just wonderful, Sue. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add yourself?
Well, it's not just me. There must have been thousands of others like me. And maybe I'm the fortunate one in being able to sort of put this onto an actual archive. When I was relating only yesterday to somebody about the fact that my mother had and father had given my aunt a brooch, they said, you must write it down. So this is a bit more than writing down. Mm. It means a lot to me, but to other people, it may be more insignificant, I don't know.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
No, it's my pleasure.